It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Kate Archer-Kent. A House budget bill passed by the Republican majority calls for cuts in federal spending. According to the Congressional Budget Office, in order to reach the spending targets, there would have to be cuts to Medicaid.
Medicaid is the joint federal and state program that covers medical costs for millions of lower-income Americans. It includes programs like Badger Care here in Wisconsin. This bill is not a done deal. It would need to go through a reconciliation process with the Senate.
This also comes as Governor Evers has renewed his call to expand Medicaid in Wisconsin in his two-year budget proposal. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss says the state made the right call by being one of 10 states that is opting to avoid expanding Medicaid.
My hope is that instead of focusing on expanding government-run health care, we try to find ways to make sure that the private sector is more competitive, and hopefully we root out the waste and inefficiencies in our own system in Wisconsin, ensuring that people who need the health care continue to get it.
What does all this mean for health care funding here in Wisconsin? Donna Friedsam is a distinguished researcher emerita who's been studying healthcare policy and reform for decades at UW-Madison. Donna, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Good morning. Good to be with you.
I want to start with a little Medicaid 101, because a lot of programs that are funded by Medicaid aren't branded as Medicaid. What kind of things are happening in Wisconsin via Medicaid funding?
Well, Medicaid is, as you noted, the payer for Badger Care, low-income families. But what many people don't recognize is that most of the people who rely on care in nursing homes, people with elderly and people with disabilities, many people who are on Medicare, who are low-income, also duly rely on Medicaid for their coverage to cover things that Medicare does not cover. So Medicaid is actually quite a wide-ranging program and reaches over a million Wisconsin residents who rely on it.
Now, here's this bill in Congress from the House. Again, not a done deal yet. The House of Representatives bill calls for $880 billion in cuts for the relevant committee that oversees Medicaid. The Congressional Budget Office says, hey, you can't hit that target without cuts to Medicaid and other health programs. I know it's hard to speculate in some cases where we don't have numbers, but what are some of the things people tend to target when they talk about cuts to Medicaid?
Well, it's absolutely the case that target will need to cut into Medicaid, given that the jurisdiction of the committee that has to cut $880 billion, 90% of their jurisdiction is in Medicaid. So there's no question that that's going to have to happen if they're going to reach that target. And generally, as you heard at the top of your section here, Speaker Voss talks about it as a program where we're going to reduce eligibility for people, and they don't, and really that's just not going to get us where we're going to need to go if we're talking about low income individuals. It's going to reach everybody in the program, people with disabilities, people who elderly people in nursing homes, women, children. All of the people who rely on Medicaid every day are going to be affected by these cuts. It's not going to be what we hear focused on is saying, oh, it's adults who could be out working. That's a very, very marginal amount of people who may be on Medicaid.
House Speaker Mike Johnson has said there's fraud and inefficiencies in programs like Medicaid, and also has raised concerns about improper payment rates. Is there enough low-hanging fruit there, money spent in ways that we don't want it to be spent, overpayments for some medical services that would be a significant number in this effort to make cuts?
Well, I'm sure it's not going to be a surprise to you that I'm going to say no on that. The overpayments in Medicaid, the data there are just like throughout the insurance system. Certainly there is payments to providers that may be unmerited, just like there is in any health insurance. Throughout private and public health insurance, there's upcoding, there's overcharging, there's charges for services that may not exist. But that's just a marginal amount of the Medicaid program, and most of Medicaid services are required and needed. The conversation we don't have is that there's many people out there who are actually eligible for Medicaid who aren't even enrolled in the program. So if anything, we're spending less on Medicaid than we might be spending if we were covering all the people, all the uninsured people out there who could be enrolled in the program who are not. And in terms of provider payments, Medicaid actually pays substantially less to providers in terms of prices than does private insurance. So no, the answer is no on that.
Another notion that comes up from time to time is the idea of making Medicaid into a block grant program, which generally means for other programs that have done this, here are states, you each get X amount of money and you decide how it's administered. States already do have a lot of decision-making power in how Medicaid is administered. What would a block grant mean? How would that change things?
The block grant would be a substantial challenge for states. While we hear that states are interested in having flexibility for how to manage their Medicaid programs, like you know, states do have a fair amount of flexibility in that they can apply for various waivers to existing Medicaid regulation to experiment with the program. But a block grant would essentially set the amount that the federal government provides to states, regardless of how many people end up qualifying for the program or what the health needs are of the people that enroll in the program. So during economic recessions, during health crises, during demographic shifts in the state, the federal contribution to the program would not change, and the state would be left on the hook to manage the program regardless of how many people are in need for the program. So it would be a significant economic problem for the state, and the state would have to probably cut the program substantially just when we need the program the most, during economic recessions or when we have more people in need for the program because of perhaps growing elderly population or other reasons.
We're talking about how possible changes to Medicaid could affect Wisconsin residents. Donna Friedsam is with us, distinguished researcher emerita. She's been studying healthcare policy and reform for decades at UW-Madison. Donna, the eternal argument here in Wisconsin, we have Governor Evers in his budget proposal, again, calling on lawmakers to expand Medicaid in Wisconsin and accept federal money to do that. Republicans in the legislature say no. We shouldn't do that, and are pointing toward possible cuts to Medicaid to say the state would be on the hook for more. Can you talk about that decision, how the state of Wisconsin has handled that question over the last, decade and a half or so?
You know, this is a challenging conversation in Wisconsin because it is absolutely the case that Wisconsin, unlike other non-expansion states, does provide Medicaid eligibility up to the full 100% of the federal poverty level. And then the Affordable Care Act provides subsidized access to private insurance coverage through the ACA marketplace at 100% of the federal poverty level. So what you hear argued is that we don't have a coverage gap in the state. There's nuance there because people will say that the people at the lowest income levels, that area of non-expansion in Wisconsin, 100 to 138% of the federal poverty level, is difficult for those people to manage in the private marketplace. It's difficult for them to afford the cost sharing, et cetera. And that is true. And there's a lot I could say on that if we had more time. However, in terms of actual access right now, they have had access to significant subsidies in the last few years due to an expansion of subsidies under the Biden administration. So at this point, that group that would be under an expansion does have access to coverage. However, those subsidies are very likely to end now this year, given the current leadership in Washington. And all of the estimates that we have suggest that there's no intention for those expanded subsidies to continue. And so any kinds of analyses that you see coming out that say there's no reason for that group to have access to Medicaid coverage rely on the idea that that group has access to Affordable Care Act subsidized coverage, which very likely they will not, given the end of the expanded subsidies in the current year. Once those subsidies expire, they may have in name some kind of eligibility for purchasing coverage, but the coverage will be very much out of reach for them.
I don't know if there are exact numbers on this, but since we're arguing about this group a lot, I think in the state, people who don't qualify for that Medicaid coverage do qualify for those subsidies for coverage under the Affordable Care Act, could lose some of those subsidies. Do we have a sense of the scale, a ballpark of how many people we're talking about who would be in that category that, again, seems to be at the center of contention?
Well, we do actually have fairly exact numbers
Oh,
on
okay.
that. I can tell you, last year in 2024, we had about 47,000 people who were in that group, 100 to 138% of the federal poverty level, who enrolled in the Affordable Care Act coverage, who would otherwise be eligible for a for Medicaid expansion coverage if we had expanded Medicaid. Now that's 2024. I don't have the 2025 numbers. So in theory, those 46,718 people would have otherwise been enrolled in Medicaid instead of in the Affordable Care Act. I want to note, however, that we also have over 60,000 people in Wisconsin who are below the federal poverty level. So technically, they should be covered by Medicaid in our state who are currently uninsured. And all of those people should be, virtually all those people should be enrolled in Medicaid and are not. And that shows that we have problems simply getting people who are eligible enrolled in coverage because there's so many what we call administrative burdens or barriers to getting people covered, because it's difficult with all the paperwork and all the reporting requirements and the like. So the more kinds of challenges we put in people's places to get enrolled in the coverage, more likely people will be uninsured rather than enrolled.
Donna, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
That's Donna Friedsam, Distinguished Researcher Emerita from UW-Madison. We've been talking about the possible impact of Medicaid cuts here in Wisconsin.
Coming up, a state proposal would extend Medicaid coverage for new moms to a full year. We'll hear from sponsors of the bill from both parties.
Most of the things that happen to women in postpartum, unfortunately, happens between 5 and 9 months. So this is preventable.
That's next on WPR News.